More Business Briefing right now on FM News 101.
And we're back at 4:35. Welcome back to Business Briefing. I'm Brian Bushlack. Patrick Stone joining us, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group, WFG National Title. And Pat, before I get to the question about Fannie and Freddie, I want to talk about what we discussed briefly during the break. And this is important to this audience because we have an audience of closely held business owners that listen to this show. And I talk to so many of them off and on during the week, friends of mine, guys I've known for years who run businesses in this market and have the impression that if Mitt Romney is elected, that things will immediately turn around and we're back to the land of milk and honey. And I want to talk about that because I've cautioned these guys who are, these are sharp business owners, not to think that, because Mitt Romney himself, he can't get into office and turn this thing around. How do you see it playing out if Romney was elected?
Well, Brian, I think that if Mitt Romney's elected, I think a great many conservatives and a great many people in the financial arena or financial services arena, their confidence will increase. And I think short term, there'll be that boost of confidence in the financial services area will result in some uptick, but I think it will dissipate fairly quickly. And what people need to understand fundamentally is that the economy is, as measured by GDP, is significantly dependent on consumption. You know, that runs roughly 70% of our economy in the U.S. is consumption. The American consumers' debt-to-income right now is 114%. That's where it was in 2005. Now, by way of perspective, it was at 85% in 1990. We have deleveraged a little bit from a high of 134 at the beginning of 2009, so we've deleveraged, but we're back to where we were in 2005. American consumer does not have a lot of slack to increase consumption to meaningfully pick up the economy, no matter who's the president. The other thing that happens in the economy, and a significant part of the economy, is what's called investment. Investment really is moved to a large degree by residential construction. We still have a surplus of housing in America. We are not going to see a meaningful pickup in residential construction, no matter who the president is. So you just not, it doesn't matter who's elected. You can't, you will not see a meaningful impact improvement in the economy for a few more years. I think there's a good chance it'll continue to grow at about 2%. And I think we'll continue to fight the battle, but there's no panacea here.
Yeah, and that's not, of course, what people want to hear. And that includes, I think, Pat, gentlemen who are very sharp businessmen, businesswomen out there. You know, they want the quick fix. We're Americans. Everybody wants that, right?
Yeah, we do. Brian, I do too, but I'm not counting on it.
Okay, back to that story I mentioned before the break and the Wall Street Journal this past week on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and the role they've played in the U.S. housing market. You've participated in the housing market and been involved in real estate for many years, Pat. What do you see the role of Fannie and Freddie being in the future? We're kind of at where we're at right now. The government did what they did. Are these entities going to remain intact? Will they be reformed? And do we need them? I guess I know we need them short term, but long term, do we need these entities to have a healthy housing market?
Well, you know, let's start with the long-term view and then work backwards. We need a secondary market in order to finance the amount of purchases and refinances and housing activity that we'd like to have. So we need a secondary market. In other words, lenders need to be able to sell a certain amount of their loans to a secondary market. Ideally, that secondary market would be mostly private capital. And it was for a period of time in the first decade of this century, from about 2005 to 2008, the bulk of the secondary market was Wall Street and private capital. But for all the reasons we've talked about before, it sort of dried up, and there is really very little of a private secondary market. So Fannie and Freddie have been buying a tremendous amount of loans. And I think there's a strong movement, and it's maybe a universal agreement that they are they have way too many assets, too big a balance sheet. We need to start scaling it back. Ginnie Mae has picked up more, but I think the government will be in the secondary market until we're ready to have a private market. And we're probably a couple of years away because we have to have clarity on some of the CFPB issues. And by that, I mean, investors need to know that when they buy a securitization of mortgage loans, that the loans were done properly, that all the vendors involved in doing the loan were reputable, that the information being relayed is accurate, that the rating that the security is given is believable. So we have a little bit more corrective action on the regulatory side before we'll have a private market. But when the private market starts to emerge, I do believe you will see Fannie and Freddie become significantly smaller. Will they go away altogether? I doubt that they'll go away altogether. I think Ginnie Mae may become more prominent, but they'll be around to some degree.
Okay, so they'll always be there, but we won't rely on them as we do now. And if you look back, 5 years, Pat, I mean, we really needed them at the time. I mean, there was a private market, but a lot of these loans were sold to Fannie and Freddie, right?
Well, yeah, Fannie and Freddie have been probably the predominant players, except for a 3 or 4 year period in the, from about 2005 to 2008. They've been the predominant players since the end of the SNLs. So they've been big for 20 years.
All right, let's talk more real estate. You are traveling the country quite often and keep tabs on many markets where WFG does business. Can you give us a snapshot of other markets around the country? I mean, we hear pockets where things are picking up. You hear success stories here and there, but then again, you hear where, there isn't some success. So kind of give us a rundown, Pat. Where are you seeing things pick up and in what markets around the country?
Well, I think things are probably better in the West, in some Western areas, but they're relatively good all over, because what happened when we had the problems with the foreclosures and the process problems as a result of MERS and robo-signing and so forth and so on, is that you had a contraction in the amount of distressed property coming on the market. Whether people will believe this or not, the economy has improved the last few years. Investors are buying real estate, so they've been buying a lot of distressed property. You've seen some improvements. You haven't seen any significant new construction in most markets. So people are walking around now, and there's less listings and less properties for sale in many markets than there have been for a long time. I know especially true in Portland. And so you have a little bit better market. You're starting to see prices go up. There are still markets that haven't recovered. One of them would be Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, they got a tremendous amount of REO dumped in Atlanta, Georgia. Las Vegas is still struggling tremendously. It's maybe a little bit better than it was, but not much. Bay Area is off the charts. It's as good as it gets. In fact, it probably, in all honesty, Brian, I don't know that it's ever been better.
Yeah.
It is just tremendous in the Bay Area. Portland market is actually pretty good right now relative to where it was the last 3 or 4 years. And Seattle is relatively good. Midwest never got particularly out of line one way or another. The further east you get, the less, behavior changes a little bit. People are not quite as aggressive on financing as instruments. Probably, I might be wrong with this, but I think people probably moved less than they do out west. We're a little bit more transient out here. But overall, market's pretty good. A few hiccups, few places like Las Vegas, Atlanta, Georgia are still problematic.
Yeah, you talked about inventory, and you were one of them. I mean, you called it on this show that, the fact that there was a concern about shadow inventory, and you, I think, coined the phrase, the fact that we had these shadow buyers out there that we didn't know about, and obviously the nation continues to grow, and we still have this slack in inventory. Do you feel, Pat, that we've made progress there? Have the banks made progress in working through that in the minute we have left here?
Yeah, I think it's getting better. I think it is getting better. There is still a lot of delinquent loans. There are still a significant amount of foreclosures that will occur over the next 3 or 4 years. I think it'll be much more steady. It won't be sudden surges or overwhelming amounts that flood the market with unoccupied property. So I think we will get better. I'm still looking at 2016 being a good year, and I'm still looking for a housing shortage in Portland in 2016. And I still believe that.
Yeah, and I would go along with that, Pat, because of our friend, the urban growth boundary, and the fact that there haven't been many new homes built the past 3 or 4 years. We are in for a housing shortage severely here in the next couple of years. So stay right there, Pat. I know you're over in Sun River. Want to get back to the golf course. We got one more break here, and we want to talk to you coming up about the financial cliff that's looming in the next couple of months. We'll talk about that with Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group, when we continue on Business Briefing.